good to see everyone this morning.
Good morning.
Has everyone seen the announcements and
Yes.
What am I supposed to do?
Yes, we're seeing it now.
All right, I was just supposed to say that. I haven't actually looked at it. Our first song this morning is page 547. We're going to sing all four verses of the church's one foundation.
Bob Bullinger or just Austin Bible Church, and it'll come up, And you can, I don't know what this thing is here, this, Tim, is that what they put in there in order to live stream?
Yeah, that's the link, it's in the service
Okay. Okay, and we're not going to have any Bible class Thursday, November the 27th, because that's Thanksgiving. And I think we all like to eat, especially on that day. And so I think the Lord is going to say, that's okay, we can say a longer prayer. So. And also mark your calendar for the Christmas party, Friday, December the 12th, 6 p.m. You know about that. But you need to start telling friends or family if you want them to come so they don't have other things. Okay. Okay, now I need to. Okay. Well, this is a portion of service when we thank God for all the things that He does for us, and we're going to be doing that for all eternity, and I look forward to doing it. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our Father. And that we are Your children, and You provide for us all the things that we need and even more. And we don't need to get into fear if we can't pay the bills or whatever it is. You're right there with us. And so we're so thankful for that. And we can't wait to get into Your Word today so that we can just give You more and more glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word. We do that by having a few moments of silent prayer where we can acknowledge any unconfessed sins which the Holy Spirit will take care of that. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here, the royal family, and eager to learn more and more about our fantastic God that is the only God. And so we pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate this morning, and we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. There we are. This is where we're going to start. Of course, the ECS stands for the Edification Complex of the Soul. And we have gone down to this point. And that's where we're going to start. Oop, too much. Okay, so this is point number 8. And we're talking about love, and there's a that's probably the most long-winded thing that a person could do is talk about love. But we are going to get some facts. So here we go. Number 8. Love was designed to have capacity for love, integrity, and virtue in the soul. And so when God designed us, that's what he has, what he wanted us to have, is capacity for love, integrity, and virtue in the soul. And really, integrity and virtue are so close together, they mean nearly the same. And then, of course, capacity for love, and that is something that you can have when you are a believer that has been taking in doctrine, and you are maybe a mature believer. But the couple of verses that follow this is to show that this is in the Bible, in this Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 16. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 16. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity. Now, God is speaking this, and if we were within his hearing and he said that, I believe we would be ready to give him a hearing, wouldn't you? He's going to give us the choice. Verse 16. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. That's what God tells us in Genesis, to be prosperous and multiply. And that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. And so we have this, it's up to us what we're going to do, whether we're going to choose life and prosperity or death and adversity. And it's amazing how many people, when you look in the Bible, how many people voted for death and adversity. But God has it for them, and if they're not going to take the right one, then it's all on them. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, that's just a few verses up from verse 16. Deuteronomy 30, 20. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life. This isn't something you just piddle around with. We're talking about your life. So by loving the Lord your God, and by obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, all those things is a conglomerate that winds up being, this is your life, or it should be, and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. So we face these kind of things every day. We make choices. We make decisions. And we can't make those decisions in a I'll just flip a coin. And if you're doing that, you're not really where you need to be. All right, point number 9. The unconditional love of believers towards other believers. This is a type of love. And we have John chapter 13, verse 34. And this is really all that's needed to address this unconditital love of believers towards other believers. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now this is a very good verse. Of course, I don't think any of them are not good. But there's one little provision in here when he says, even as I have loved you. So he says that you love one another. Okay, that's okay. And if it said that you also love one another, that's okay. But when it says, even as I have loved you, God loves us to a degree we can't even understand. His love goes way beyond our comprehension. And I don't know if we can love one another in the way that God loved us. I'm just throwing that in there because it's there. And even when we try to love people, sometimes we don't make it. And so that's when we need help, and we can call upon the Holy Spirit to help us love someone, and that we can do. So I just want to put that in there. All right. Point number 10 is where we're going to start, and some things that I think is going to make it more clear about this whole thing about unconditional love and personal love and that type of thing. So point number 10 says, the differences between personal love, and that's when you just what it means, that you love them personally. Of course, you have to know somebody to be able to love them personally. But there are differences between personal love and unconditional love. They are not the same thing, and we're going to go through this slowly and see what those differences are. So point number A is unconditional love is the opposite of personal love because the object of personal love relies on himself, not the Lord. Now this is unconditional love is the opposite of personal love. So we know that it's not like personal love, so we get to personal love because the object, and you're going to see this object several times over as we go through this. And if you say, I love you, who is the object? The one that is getting the information about somebody loves them. So the object is the person that receives the love. And the problem with this, the object, and this object is for all people that classify as the object, relies on himself, not the Lord. That is the what we have with regards to personal love. Personal love is opposite unconditional love because personal love of the object, now we're focusing on the object, their love relies on himself or herself, not the Lord. Now when we go to point B, it starts to show up a little better. Point B, believers who employ unconditional love, the subject, so the subject is the one that has personal love towards the object, and that's, we're just going to keep them like that. And so the believer who employ unconditional love, the subject, rely on the Lord and not themselves. So you see a big difference between these two already, and these two places right here, we see that unconditional love and personal love are different. Those that are the object of the personal love relies on himself, not the Lord. And believers who employ unconditional love would be the subject, the one that's producing this love for them, rely on the Lord, not themselves. Okay, so I did this, some of this morning. That's why that A is either where it says number 11, and that A is just hanging off over there, so just ignore it. But this is what's coming next. I put some thought in, and I think it will help you to understand. This is profiles of the object and the subject. And we're going to start with the object. So you have the object there. And the first thing that we notice in the profile here is the object can be a believer or an unbeliever. Doesn't matter who they are. That's the first thing. They don't have to be a believer or unbeliever. Let me get this up some more. Number two, they can be repulsive, ugly, attractive, obnoxious, well-mannered, rich, poor, kind, mean, smart, or dumb. And I could just go on and on, but I end it here. The point is that none of that matters. The one that is the object, you could put hundreds of ways of how they differ, the point is that none of that matters. And I'll tell you what matters when you're talking about the object. Let's go back down to here for a moment. Again, the top one, A, unconditional love is just the opposite of personal love, because the object of personal love relies on himself, not the Lord. And that's the biggest distinction of all. And then we can work with the others. So when we're talking about a profile, and you have all these different things that people can be. One person can be all of these in a lifetime, or some people can be obnoxious and spend a year being obnoxious. I don't know. So that's the point there. Okay, and number three, they can turn against anyone by, especially the one who has personal love towards them and has unconditional love for them, the subject. So they can turn against, anybody can turn against anybody at any time. Can't we all believe that? I mean, that's for sure. However, the object can turn away from a person who has personal love towards them and has unconditional love for them as well. You see, one reason they don't like a person that has personal love for them is because if you continue to have unconditional love, unconditional means the object doesn't have to do anything in order for them to receive this love. And so they would say something like, well, who do you think you are? Are you better than me? Are you in that type of thing? And that goes towards the subject. Okay, I could put many other things there, and we have several things coming up here, but that is a short profile for the object. Now we have a profile for the subject. So, number one, the subject must be a believer with a strong spiritual life. Number one. Number two, he must consistently take in Bible doctrine. Because if you're not consistently learning God's Word and applying it, then you're not going to be worried about the personal love that someone is not getting or whatever it may be. But these are things that are necessary for you to even get into the game. Number three, it must be at least an adult believer, or even better, a spiritually mature believer. So if you think, okay, well, I want to have unconditional love for so-and-so and so-and-so, and you're a baby believer, you're going to get all tied up and not understand what's going on. And number four, they must rely on the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and acknowledging his sins to God the Father. You get those two? Y'all know what I'm talking about here. You must. You can't do any of this on your own, because we are human, and the slightest things can set us off, and we don't need to have the subject doing any of those things. And so he has to have power and guidance from the Holy Spirit and acknowledge his sins to God the Father. We call that rebound sometimes. But when you sin, the only way to get back into God's good graces is to acknowledge your sins, and He will immediately forgive those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's in is shown. And even you don't get to where you're too big for your britches that you don't have to acknowledge your sins. And there's a lot more that we could put here, but these are, don't even attempt this unless you are in this category where all these things says, notice, must, not maybe. Okay, now we're out of the profiles of the object and the subject, and now we're going to go to point number 12. The object often has a problem or is a problem. That is, when the subject solves the problem by using problem-solving devices of Bible doctrine, integrity, and virtue. So that means that the subject has to be alert, and we all have problems from time to time, but the object, I've already showed you, if you have problems and you try to solve those problems yourself and don't even think of the Holy Spirit or God or anything, then you have problems. And that's when the person that is has personal love, which is the subject, can solve the problem by using problem-solving devices of Bible doctrine. You learn in the Word how to solve these problems, and you have integrity and virtue in order to do it. So we have several things underneath this, with the starting with point A, but I want you to make sure that you understand that the object has a problem or is a problem, and when the subject solves the problem by using so-and-so. But what I want you to see is that somebody has a problem. Let's say the object has a problem, and you're the subject. The only problem is the object's problem is you. Now, this can be kind of salty here, because you have to ignore that if you're going to continue to have unconditional love for this person. And if you don't, if you go into getting back at them or any way, then you have to go back to what is right here, is we need to acknowledge our sins to God the Father. But if you go strike back at the object and you're the subject, what is that going to do to your undeserved love? It's going to crash, isn't it? So these are things we have to remember. And you can see that happening, but if you do that, you might could just acknowledge your sins and be back on track, and it may be well, but those are just things that can happen. So here we go with point number A. Unconditional love requires obedience to the mandates of the plan of God for it to work. In other words, this unconditional love requires obedience. You can't have unconditional love working if the Lord has to, and you're not even obeying the Lord, because it is the Lord who is going to give you the power, and it comes from the Holy Spirit, in order to keep your unconditional love working. But it requires obedience, and sometimes we're not obedient. So this is another thing that has to be considered. Point B, since unconditional love can be impersonal, that means you can have unconditional love for people you don't even know. And when it is impersonal, it emphasizes the subject rather than the object. And you know why? Well, the subject carries the possibility of bringing the object to a better relationship and a better life. What we're seeing is the subject is working for God, and the object is working for himself, because he's not concerned with God. And so that's why the subject carries the possibility of bringing the object to a better relationship and a better life. I'm looking at y'all, but I'm not reading you. I don't know what you're thinking. Anybody have any questions of this so far? Am I going too fast or what? Okay, I'm going to go on. I said I was going to go home. Go on, not home. I'm not there yet. Okay. Now, we have unconditional love has all the integrity in human relationships. It is not easy to put unconditional love into operation. In fact, we cannot do it unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit and utilizing His power. And that is in everything that we do, not just if we have unconditional love for people. It means for everything we do, if we need to do something and we can't do it, which is most of the time, then the Holy Spirit will give us the power and the guidance and everything we need in order to do it. But if you just go up there and what would happen, I wonder, if one of the people who were the receiving end of it, the object, decided that they were going to launch unconditional love. That would be a real train wreck, wouldn't it? So unconditional love has all the integrity in human relationships, because when you have relationships, what happens if you have, well, I'm going to step out on thin something that might not hold me. So when we say unconditional love has integrity in human relationships, it's what about when it comes to husband and wife? And you, one of you are going to be the object, and the other one hopefully will be the subject. And so when you have that, let me just read this point number C. Conditional love has all the integrity in human relationships. What if there is no unconditional love that has integrity in this relationship? What if both of them are acting as the object? What's going to happen? Well, the lawyers start rejoicing, is what happens. And hopefully, it only takes one, the subject, to be able to carry the ball. So unconditional love has all the integrity in the human race. Now, let me ask you a question. How much integrity does the object have? Nix, nothing. They are in their own game, and they're not considering God or any of those things. It's not easy to put unconditional love into operation. In fact, we cannot do it unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit and utilizing His power. D. The motivation to give us unconditional love to someone has nothing to do with any merit they may possess. And you might have, let's say, a model. She's very beautiful, and she's rich. And you think, well, I'd like to be the one that gives her unconditional love. And it might be that there is some merit that she has, or just anyone. So again, the motivation to give unconditional love to someone has nothing to do with any merit they may possess. It doesn't have anything to do with it. The motivation comes from our desire to please God and grow in our spiritual life. That's what is our motivation, not what the object is doing. Point E. Personal love emphasizes the attractiveness of the object. We saw that before. Unconditional love emphasizes the virtue, integrity, and capacity for love for those in spiritual adulthood. And that would be the subject. I just brought that in to bring it in. We had one really close to this, but I wanted to show you this again. Point F here. Unconditional love is a professional function of the royal family of God who reach spiritual adulthood. Now, this is not for baby believers or teenage believers. It has to do. You have to have at least the reach spiritual adulthood for you to do this. And then point G, capacity to love others includes devotion, maximum esteem, loyalty, self-sacrifice, forgiveness, respect, appreciation, kindness, thoughtfulness, encouragement, trustworthiness, praise, and patience. And this is a short list. So whenever you decide that you want to get married, this is, if you get married and you don't have capacity for love, you're in big trouble. Again, the lawyers will probably be having a party over what's going to happen. And it's because this is the things that we ought to do. And I don't think any of us can say, well, you know, I think I've my whole marriage have all these things that I have done. Anybody want to raise their hand for that one? Huh? So what I'm saying is, this is the last part of that type of love, and that's where I want to make sure that capacity for love is huge. Capacity for love means that you will sacrifice yourself and that you have the capacity when the cards are down and all these other things, a capacity for love is going to win the day. Okay, we're done with that part, and now we're going to the category two love. Now remember, this is right under the edification complex of the soul. We are right under the last step of that. I'm not going to show you because it's a lot of space up there and it takes some time. But category two love, we just finished, by the way, category one love. And that is the category one love, two love, and three love. And category one love is love for God, of course, and we spent some time on this. Now we're getting to category two love, and that has to do with marriage, but I don't have anything on marriage on this yet because we have to see some other things before that. It has to do with love. And so this is category two love is for your marriage, and category three love is for your friends and so forth. Okay, so category two, love. Number one, love is not overt function, but love comes from the soul. In other words, overt function, you might do something in order to impress someone, but true love comes from the soul. Number two, if you do not have character and values in the soul, from the execution of the plan of God, and God has a plan for every one of us, and we all need to execute it. So if you don't have character and values in the soul from the execution of God's plan, even if you are sincere when you say, I love you, it is meaningless. I can remember when I was in high school, there were guys that were dating girls, and they would go, I heard them personally say this before, "Oh, I love you." And what they really meant was, "I lust you." And hopefully the girls were smart enough to not buy that. But anyway, if you don't have the character and values in the soul, then you can say that, but it doesn't mean anything. Number three, we are not born with the capacity of loving anyone. We're just screaming babies that need milk and food and have to be cleaned up sometime and so forth. And we are not born with the capacity of loving anyone. We are born spiritually dead, and with we are built in arrogance. And all we go and look at these lovely babies. You know, I never was very keen on looking at babies until my daughter was born. That changed everything. But I'll say this real quick. Back then, you didn't go in with your wife. She went to have the baby. And I was in a room that this woman, she was a black lady, looked like she would make a good linebacker. And she said, "You go to the Stark room." The Stark room, you know. I said, "Okay." And that was at 12 o'clock at night. And I was still there at 8 in the morning. And I was trying to look for her and say, "Hey, I was ahead of all of these other guys, been in here and they're gone. I'm ready to get my baby." Anyway, the only thing that was even worse was when I went to see her, you know, view her. They hadn't fixed her up yet. And I looked, and she looked like a lizard. And I thought, "Is that one mine?" Anyway, she was born a little early, so she had to stay in this box. It's, I don't know what it is. You know, keep them in there so they'll have the right temperature or whatever. And the day came to where I was going to go see her again. I was dreading it. And I thought, "Oh, well." And I was pretending that I was eager. But I wanted to run out of that door. Anyway, when they come and they took that little towel thing off of her and I saw her, and I just melted. And from that point to now, she is just beautiful and wonderful. So anyway, how did I get here with capacity of loving? That's why I don't need to go off on nothing. Okay, so we're not born with the capability of loving anyone. So if you want to use that as an excuse, you can, but it won't work. And we are born spiritually dead. This should be, and we built and built in arrogance. We are born to with a built-in self-deception. If we lie to ourselves, we are lying to others when we tell them we love them. Now, I want to put a little proviso here. I'm in my 70s. I've been around a long time, and it took me a long time, but I finally figured out, and this is for men that are married, you can't say how much you love your wife and be enough. You men understand what I'm saying? And you need to mean it also. I mean, this was my flaw. I used to think, well, whenever I would tell my wife, "I love you," she's, "I'm leaving, I'm going to town or whatever." "Okay, I love you, I love you." "Oh, okay." And I thought, that's, you know, kind of repetitious out of it. But I'm seeing through a male's eyes, and she's hearing me through a woman's ears. So just a little note there that you can't tell her too many times that. Am I right, ladies?
Yes.
All right. It's good to be right for a change. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, if we lie to ourselves, we are lying to others when we tell them we love them. We really need to let them know that it's true. Number four, if you say to someone, I love you, and this is sex outside of marriage, you have lied to yourself and to the person to whom you have said these things. And the Supreme Court of Heaven severely disciplines any person who lies in this way. It's a shame that how many males prey on females and tell them they love them and all that kind of thing. And then the female gets pregnant and he's nowhere to be seen. That happens. I'm sure that's happened all through history. But the person that would do that, I would call a snake. Number five. The only way you will ever have a consistent spiritual life is by true love or spirituality versus pseudo-love or arrogance. So all this is saying is that we all should live the spiritual life. Most Christians aren't living the spiritual life. They don't even know what it is. But we need to be consistent in that and always, well, we should always tell the truth anyway. But consistent spiritual life is by true love or spirituality versus the pseudo love or arrogance. Remember when we went through when we were saying, okay, do you want to have life and good, or do you want to have what was the other thing? I can't remember what it was, but it was taking the love or spirituality versus pseudo love or arrogance. If I ask you, which one of these would you want? Would you know? Yeah, you'd know. So we need to keep on telling the truth. Now, I'm getting close to being out of time, but we're going to go a little bit further here. A, rapport with God is a harmonious relationship with God. And if you don't know what that harmonious relationship is, you're really missing out, because that is some of the greatest things. It begins at the moment of faith in Christ. This is when your relationship with God begins, when you have faith in Christ. This rapport is initiated by God at salvation and is fulfilled in the unique spiritual life of the church age. You know, we have a unique age here, the church age, and what you want is a harmonious relationship with God, but you want that with everyone, don't you? You want to have a great relationship. And so it begins at the moment of faith in Christ. The rapport is initiated by God at salvation and is fulfilled in the unique spiritual life of the church age. And I think this will probably be the last one I'll have time for. We do not establish rapport with God on the basis of what He can do for us. There are millions and millions of people who want to have a rapport with God, but it's on the basis of what can you do for me. We establish rapport with God only through the fulfillment of the unique spiritual life of the church age. And most of you know what I'm talking about, because we have gone through this many times. And you know, in the Old Testament, they didn't even know that there was going to be a church age. You go through all the Old Testament, they didn't know anything about the church age. And so the people of God, but when we get to heaven, it's going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. So anyway, all right, I'm going to take this down now. Let's see. All right. Now, this is on Sundays, I always give the good news to people who are listening, and I'm sure we have people listening on live streaming and so forth, or they'll get on YouTube or whatever. And there's so many people out there that are so worried and they're frightened what's going to happen when they die, so they don't even want to hear about dying. But they need to know the truth, because once you know the truth, you don't have to be afraid. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he went to the cross, and on that cross he paid for the sins of the entire world. A lot of people think that they don't know that, but he has. And before he died, he said, "It is finished." That's tetelestai in the Greek. And he was saying what was finished was his mission to earth in order to save the people. And he died, and he rose from the grave, and he will now offer the gift of eternal life just because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way anybody will ever be saved, is by putting their faith alone in Christ alone. And when that happens, they become a child of God, and their ticket to heaven is guaranteed, and there's everything to look forward to. It's great. But there are so many different takes on that. The only way you can know for sure is to start reading your Bible and listening to those who are expediting God's Word, and you will find out for yourself that that's all it takes. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Let us close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we are the royal family of God, because we are in union with Christ. And we are so thankful that that never can be broken. We thank you for the time that we can be here to look upon these things, to try to go further than just the stories, but get into the meat so that we can do more for you and be good and faithful servants. So we thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.